What's in a name? We all have names, and why do we have names? And where do the names come from? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. We've often talked about where names come from, and I say that names are given to us by ourselves before we are born to fit the type of life that we're going to live. And we know that name, and we transmit that name to our new parents before we are born. They know exactly what name we are to be called, and sometimes they call us by that, or sometimes they're independent and call us by whatever they want to call us by. But we give ourselves our name before we're born. Now, as again, in the translation, a lot is lost. Parents who look at these names and they say, well, that's not really my son. My son's not a Samuel, he's a Joseph. My son's not a Joseph, he's a Fred or Henry or whatever, Hank or whatever. And my daughter's not a Madeline, but a Sylvia, but a Ingeborg, but a, you know, a Christina, you know, or a Sybil, or Christy, or Ellen, you know. My daughter, that name just doesn't fit my daughter. Well, it doesn't fit them. But they'll find out. The name that they were guided to take from the very beginning, if they didn't take it, that name is what that child is going to live out. Now, you say, well, the name has such definite parameters to it? Yes, very definite parameters to it. Everybody who has a name has very definite parameters to that name, and that name stays with them all the days of their life. It stays with them through everything that they do. It is who they are and what they are. They're given that at birth by their wise parents who listen to not grandma and grandpa, not father and mother, not their names, but the name that is divinely chosen for that child. And it may not be a name that the parents would want to give to the child. Like, if the child is a Caucasian, Aryan type of child, with all the Nazi traits to it, you know, all the perfect beingness to it, and then you want to call it a Jewish name, like Ezekiel, they would say to you, no way, my Aryan child is not going to be called Ezekiel, you know. That's another culture that I do not call my child. We are whatever we are, but we're not Hebrews, you know. And so they lose the point. Because what does Ezekiel mean? Ezekiel means the wakening up, the awakening, the relieving, releasing, the revealing. Ezekiel is the revealing of all truth, the awakening of all truth, the awareness of all truth. And wow, you know. If you would say to a parent, well, your child's name is the awakening of all truth, the revealing of all truth, and all truth, they would say, yes, 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 yes. What is the name? Ezekiel. I thought it was maybe Thomas or Fred or Frederick or something, you know, but not Ezekiel. Well, you see, we fight that. We fight that when that name has a very spectacular meaning to us. In this dimension, on this life experience, in this pattern that we're following, that name indicates what we are doing the most. We are revealing from within ourselves our highest and our greatest. Nice. So stop and think what your name really is. Now, I'm in Nigeria, and everybody in Nigeria wants to give me their name, and they want to give me their name. And I say, now just a minute. Give me your name in order. What is the order of your name? My name is 1, 2, 3, 4. And I say, all right, now what's 1? Now what's 2? No, it's 4, 3, 2. And 8. And what they're doing is they're creating their name as they're talking to me because they realize the name doesn't quite say what they want to say. And so they want to put princess or queen or king or some royalty by their name. And it doesn't fit them. It doesn't fit them. They are the absolute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they want to limit themselves with a name like king or queen or prince or princess, you know? Mm-hmm. How utterly distasteful. It keeps them from being aware of the majesty of whom they are. But, oh, princess and queen, I mean, those are great names. I mean, you know, wow, wow. My mama has that. My grandma has that. Well, they don't have it. That's not the name that was given to them at birth. That's not the name that was given to any Nigerian at birth. But it's a name that they took on. And if you were to see their birth certificates, you'd find that their birth certificates were quite different from what they followed for themselves. Now, this is true in every culture. I merely am more aware of it recently in Nigeria when I'm putting the names on certificates. And they come up with some mouthful of names, and then I'm in the middle of putting it on the certificate. We got to put this in there. And then they have to add and take out. And I say, well, why are you adding and taking out? Well, I don't want it that way. I say, well, this is not the time for you to think about it. The time for you to think about it before you're born and send out the message of who you are. Now, Ezekiel fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Jesus fit the battle of Jericho. Which one of those phrases is true?
Joshua.
Did Jesus fight the battle of Jericho?
No.
Ezekiel?
No.
What was Ezekiel? A prophet. What was Jesus?
A prophet?
A Messiah.
Oh, I know.
A Messiah. He was a Messiah, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what was Joshua fit the battle? Joshua. What was Joshua? Joshua was just the lead of the soldiers, that's all. Moses could depend on Joshua doing what he told him to do. He was a good little soldier boy. And not much else. Because when the walls came tumbling down, he thought, oh man, what are we going to do now? And what did Moses tell Joshua to do?
Go in and take over.
And kill everybody. Don't leave anyone alive. Wow. Is that the way God talks? My goodness sakes. Now, I'm not saying this to make judgment. I'm just saying this to see how it is so contrary to the way we think, so contrary to our values, so contrary to what we feel should be done under a given situation. Who was the great conqueror of all Europe and Asia and so forth? What was his name?
Attila.
No, Attila the Hun. He was a different character.
Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great, right. Now, what did Alexander the Great do? He went into countries and nations and cultures all over the world. And he told them to keep their religion, to keep their philosophy. That way, they wouldn't fight him. And then they owed allegiance to him. That's all. Now, do you think those people began to think he was a pretty great king, a pretty great emperor?
Yeah, yes.
You bet. Because he didn't take away their foundation principles. And whenever you talk to somebody and you try to prove you're right and they're wrong, you're in for trouble. Because every time you try to prove somebody's wrong, just to prove yourself right, you're going to find that you got nobody. Nobody likes you at all. Because they've got to have something to hang on to. They've got to have a belief structure, and they have to have a name. They have to have something they can call their own. And if we take that away, or if we belittle it or discourage it in any way, then we are taking away the foundation upon which they base their life. Now, we've already taken away your foundation. You used to call yourself the devil all the time. You did. You called yourself, oh, I make mistakes. I'm only human. Well, who's only human? The devil. Who makes mistakes? The devil. Does God make mistakes?
No.
Are you God?
Yes.
Then how can you make mistakes? Now, can you see how historically you have been told that you're naughty, 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 naughty for believing what you believe? And what do you believe? I am?
God.
And you know, that's naughty, naughty, naughty. That puts you in the loony bin. That puts you in the funny farm. They come, the men with the white coats come and pick you up. put your hands behind your back in this sleeveless jacket, you know, and don't let you hurt yourself. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people have said they were Jesus and they got put in the loony bin, you know? How many people have said they were God? I think most people shy away from that. They don't say they're God because they know that that will be a turnoff right away. But they can say, no, I'm my own grandpa, you know, and then they prove it. But the thing is, what is it that's so important about our name? Our name is the key that allows us to be who we are. Now, Ingeborg, what's your name?
Ingeborg.
Your name is God.
Yes.
Ingeborg, what's your name?
My name is God.
Thank you. Now, why did I stop her from saying her name was Ingeborg? Because she was born Ingeborg. She was born Ingeborg and Helga, or what's the middle name?
Irma.
Irma. She was born Ingeborg Irma. And the thing is, what did those names mean? Those names mean servile, subject. Those names mean to be put down. Those names mean to be servants. And Ingeborg has graduated from that name. That was what she was born with. And then she decided, I am myself and have fun. I no longer am tying myself to my old name. I'm tying myself to a new name, which is
God.
God. I am God. And is God limited in any way? No. Are you limited in any way? Are you fantastic? Great.
Yes.
Now, Sybil? Christy? Ellen? Sylvia? What do your names mean? You don't really have any idea. I can tell you, but it doesn't matter. Because right now, I'm baptizing each one of you in the name of God as God. You are God. All of God. From this moment forward in your life, the now moment, the only time there is, you know? I enjoyed what, what's her name?
Ejitu.
E-J-I-T-O. E-J-I-T-U. Ejitu. Okay, I enjoyed what Ejitu said. Ejitu said, she was bumping into realizing that the divinity is within her and that she's God and she's wonderful. And she was thinking this so strongly. And then she walked by her father's bedroom and he had the door open and he was treating for himself. And he says, I am God, God I am. And she thought to herself, wow, wow. He says, I am God. Her mentor, her father, her special person says, I'm God. Now, when did that happen? Now, she said it was a surprise of her life. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's not unkindly asked, because she'll be listening to this too, you know, but it's not unkindly asked. Why in the hell was she surprised that her father said, I am God, when she knew she was God? And she knew that everybody was God. Why should she be surprised that people start being God when she starts being God? Because of what?
Huh? Mirror.
He is her mirror. He is her mirror. And when she starts thinking beautiful thoughts, he's thinking beautiful thoughts. Or when he thinks beautiful thoughts, she's thinking beautiful thoughts. What a great family, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What a great team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is that going to work out?
Super close.
Now, when you go back to Nigeria, your friend OK is going to come around and he's going to say, Sybil, I lost my balance for a while and I lost my sense of humility and appreciation for what you have brought into my life. I want to be a strong supporter and worker in your church of God Unlimited. Will you accept me back? And you, like the father of the prodigal son, say, bring out the fatted calf and let's party. My son who has lost his home. See? Is that true?
Yes.
Is that done?
Yes.
Then it's done. And you, when you go to your workplace, they're going to sing hallelujah. And they're going to say, Christy, while you were away, we created the perfect office for you. It's a corner office with a window, and it is glorious. It is a little larger than the doctor's offices, but that's okay. You are here all the time. The doctors come and go. And you are a very treasure in this organization. And that's where the assistant director must be.
Thank you.
So you see, when you put these causes in motion for yourself, your life changes from wishful thinking into revelation.
Done.
Done. So, I love you. I love you.
I love you.
That's what's in a name.